Welcome to Better Together, a Vaishnava family podcast.
A podcast where we explore family life from a Bhakti Yoga perspective. We are your hosts. I'm Aksh.
And I'm Gopika. Welcome to episode 23. A family of four vacation. We survived it. Okay, so we just got back from a short vacation to Orlando, Florida. First time flying and doing a trip like that as a family of four. Yeah. We did like a mix of typical vacation-like activities like beach and pool, and also attended a very large spiritual kirtan mantra meditation retreat. Probably one of the largest Vaishnava gatherings in North America. Just thought for this episode, we could do something different and take some time to debrief and reflect on our experiences together. I know we were both feeling quite nervous and highly anxious about the trip prior to leaving. We have a highly sensitive kid with very specific sensory preferences and needs who hasn't really flown in a very long time. Never flown with two little kids, what to speak of with a 19-month-old toddler who is
a very tough age.
Quite a handful. But anyway, how are you feeling about the trip and how everything went?
Yeah, I feel encouraged, I would say. My takeaway at the end of it all was I would be open to doing it again, which I think is a good sign. It was obviously a lot of work, but still overall positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I feel you. I feel like we were envisioning the possible catastrophes that might happen on this trip, and I'm relieved because there were definitely some challenging moments, but I think that any parent will attest to there is almost a guarantee of challenging moments when you travel with little kids. But yeah. I'm glad we did it. I feel stronger as a parent and a mom, and I'm just still building my flexibility muscles and resilience muscles as a parent, honestly. And so these experiences help me also with that, because I'm not, by nature, a go with the flow type of person. So I feel this trip also challenged me to also embrace that little bit of spontaneity and stepping out of your comfort zone and routine that comes with a vacation, you know?
There's like a specific instance that comes to mind with that, that really pushed you to feel more spontaneous or be more spontaneous?
Yeah. The first day we wanted to go to the beach.
Yeah.
We had this plan of like, we're going to chill in the morning. And then we quickly realized that we can't just chill in the morning because our kids are going to tear apart the Airbnb that we're in. So we got to get out and do something. Yeah. But it's 95 degrees outside, so can't go to a park. Don't want to get them wet because we're going to the beach later. So check out this nature center place, which ended up being a total bust. Yeah. It was hot. And the play that was supposed to be very sensory supported was downtrodden and covered in beehives. So like it left everybody feeling pretty depleted and tired and leading to a very, very super late long afternoon nap.
And a large meltdown.
A large meltdown. Very large. But anyway, we recovered from it after the beach, and then it was 8:30 at night and we were coming home and we knew the kids were not ready to go to sleep because the plan was they're going to sleep in the car on the way home.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's just find a park. Let's find a playground. It's edging on 9 p.m., but let's go to the park at 9 o'clock at night. And
The sun was down, so it was cool. And
we were on the coast. Great. Yeah, it was amazing. And I think that was like one of my highlights of the trip. And even our son, he was just talking to me about it today. He was like, Mama, when we went to the park at night, that really helped me. Why can't we do that here every day? We can't go to the park every day at 9 o'clock at night, okay? But just doing something so crazy and spontaneous like that, and how much joy came out of that. And that was probably going to be a long lasting memory. So I was proud of us. And also recognizing that I think it's our routine. We are very routine oriented, but that routine allowed us the privilege to kind of step out of it. And I think they say like the 80-20 rule, right? Like 80% of the time you have your structure, your routine, your rhythms, your quote unquote rules and guidelines. And then 20% of the time you have that flex.
Yeah.
That was one of my highlights. What about you? Mm. Did you have like a specific highlight of the trip for you?
Hmm.
Where did you see Krishna on the trip?
Well, I was hanging out with our son in the halls of this retreat center, going up and down elevators and escalators. And I kind of just figured like maybe he'd want to keep doing that and eventually just go have the food and just leave home. But he himself said, I want to go to the kirtan. Just given, obviously, challenges with being in these kind of crowded spaces and people moving. Kirtan is one of those really like challenging experiences for him.
Yeah, so much going on.
And so I was really, I guess, touched that he had a good experience with the kirtan, even though for, you know, like 15, 20 minutes or something at the most. But that made at least some small positive impression that left him wanting to come back to it.
Yeah. I agree with you about Kishore and Kirtan because I had such low expectations for him and wanting to participate in the crowd. I mean, even as an adult, Sadhu Sangha retreat with 4,000 participants, there's so many things happening, noise buzzing around, just. And it was quite a big retreat center. So even like walking from one place to the other was a walk.
Yeah.
It's a lot for me. So what to speak of my sensitive kiddo, I just didn't even think that he would even go into the kirtan room.
Yeah.
After I scoped it out the first day, I was like, yeah, this ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But somehow like we took him in that very first time, almost spontaneously. We didn't even plan it. We just kind of like decided to try. And I think Radhanath Swami was leading kirtan at the time. And it was towards the latter half of the kirtan where everybody was dancing and jumping and there were hands up together in the air. And there was an energy in the room that was literally pure joy.
Mm.
I mean, if you have a couple thousand people dancing and jumping and singing from their hearts, like that is going to create an energy. Just the look on his face. Like, I swear, I saw his eyes widen a little bit as he looked and he kind of took it all in. All these people jumping in joy to kirtan. And even though it was perhaps overwhelming for his body and his mind to be able to directly participate, I think there was an impression that was made about kirtan, about the power of musical mantra meditation done together in a group. And I just felt in that moment, you know, the impact of Krishna, the impact of chanting, it transcends any of these obstacles that our body might present. In our son's case, perhaps he has all of these obstacles that make it difficult for him to access some of these spiritual practices that are done in group settings around people because it comes with like the chaos and the sensory challenges and the noise and this and that.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I almost was in tears, to be honest, because I just felt like, wow, you know, Krishna is here. Krishna's in his heart.
Yeah.
And kids can feel that energy. And I felt really grateful for that moment that he was able to experience that. Because, you know, you don't always feel that type of energy in kirtan.
Yeah.
You know, that was a powerful moment for me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And I was also surprised by it. So I kind of just expected no ability to participate or be there.
Exactly.
So the fact that that happened was like wonderful. As we're going through like highlights, one other thing I was thinking about is, and I'm comparing this to last summer when we went on retreat, we drove the four of us. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that was a year ago, but we really struggled with the kids eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we learned from that experience just what worked and what didn't. And so this time, like, we didn't expect them to eat and our son specifically to eat in these large crowds with big halls and tall ceilings and all this noise and that kind of environment. And we just ate at home. And I know you cooked a lot on the trip, yeah. Which was
womp, womp, womp.
That should be a low light, right, for you. But I think from a meal perspective, at least I felt like they ate more and were just generally more happy.
Right? Yeah. I think we definitely moderated our expectations on this trip, which helped a lot.
Yeah.
When we went to New Vrindavan, we were very early on in our journey of really understanding our kids and their needs and their ability to participate.
And what would help? We didn't know a lot.
Yeah. Honestly, again, this applies mostly to like if you have an orchid kid, if you have a highly sensitive child, because quite honestly, if you don't, maybe you're like, why are these guys nitpicking every detail of this trip? It sounds really anal and ridiculous. And if you are thinking that as you listen to us talk about this, I agree with you. It is anal and it is ridiculous, but it's something that you will not understand unless you have an orchid child. And if you have one, you know one, and you probably feel our pain because you do think 10 times over all the details of the trip. Because if you don't, and you just drag them through it, you will not enjoy your trip. No one will enjoy your trip. Everybody will be miserable because they will be miserable.
Yeah.
So when you have a highly sensitive kiddo with specific needs, you do have to accommodate them so they can thrive and so the rest of you can thrive. That's just the hand that you got dealt, right?
Yeah.
Is that the saying?
That's what it is.
It's the hand that you got dealt. So I think a certain acceptance around that really helped us on this trip. We just like accepted that this is what it is. And so once we accepted it, that like, okay, food, we're not going to force our kids to eat in the big hall. We just know that it's going to go badly. So maybe we'll try it once, but have zero expectations and just plan otherwise so our kids can eat and be regulated and happy with full tummies, you know? And I think like letting go of our wishes that, oh, I wish we could just eat at Sadhu Sangha all the time and our kids would be happy. I wish our kids could just be flexible and sit in the kirtan all the time or whatever our wish was, like just kind of letting go and accepting what was likely going to happen allowed us more space to then figure out how everybody could get what they need. Like we were able to get out a little bit. We each had some independent time in kirtan, which was really nice, right? But that all came out of accepting this ground reality rather than trying to force our wishes, because that would have gone badly and then nobody would have gotten anything they needed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
How do you feel like the trip challenged you and grew you as a parent?
It's funny because when we go on trips, I change modes a little bit.
Yeah.
So at home, I'm a little bit more go with the flow. But on trips, I like want to plan every minute of it.
Yeah.
So for me, one of the ways I was challenged was retaining a sense of surrender and flexibility on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Say I was on this trip by myself, or at least, you know, if we were without the kids, I would have definitely set up time with certain people maybe to talk and connect more ahead of time. You know, hey, we could meet you at this time or whatever. But just the way that things were, like, we could only plan so much in advance because we had to kind of judge what was needed in any given day. So I think for me, like, it was just trying to be flexible and also trying to be calm as a parent because there were, like, some crazy changes and plans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot to our son about plan A and then plan B and plan C. I think we have to try to go to plan D sometimes, but we've had to go to plan Bs and Cs quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think it helped me be more spontaneous.
Yeah.
And just present with all of you. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But
it's not your... You don't really go to plan Bs unless highly necessary on vacation.
Yeah.
Your plan A's are pretty planned perfectly to the dot.
Yeah. Like you can say like I try to plan a perfect experience.
Yeah, you do.
For myself or for the others on the trip. And
when
things have to be changed, it's, you know, a challenge.
Yeah.
For me. I think it was because my acceptance of the whole situation was just that we're here to spend quality time, then whatever that looks like is okay. I'm not trying to get to a certain place or have a certain like agenda in mind per se.
Yeah. I feel like I'm more go with the flow on vacations, but where I'm not go with the flow and where I get highly stressed is if the travel doesn't go smoothly.
You get really
then I get really stressed. Like,
you remember? We lose our bags.
We went to Greece. They lost our bags. I cried at the airport and I said, take me back. Let's get on the plane and go back home. I don't want to do this vacation anymore. Then I just lose it. I'm unable to handle it. So on this trip, imagine my levels of stress when I'm literally holding our toddler so she can catch a little bit more sleep because she wasn't well or a tooth or something on the day we were meant to fly home, only to get a text message saying, hey, your flight in 2 hours has been canceled. Sorry about that. I'm like, what? We literally rehearsed this plan. And, you know, obviously I'm highly stressed because I'm thinking about our older son and how travel is a bit stressful for him. And we talked about the plan and we practiced everything. And when plans change, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be like meltdown galore. And what are we going to do? How am I going to handle it? Am I capable of doing this? My baby is sick, kind of like, ah, that was my brain in the moment. And I felt the anxiousness surging through my body as we're like, we don't know what we're doing. We got to figure this out. My kid is sleeping, is going to wake up any second. What are we going to say? Yeah. And I realized in that moment, I had to pull myself together and find my calm and either find it for real or fake groundedness because I needed to be calm for my kid. And I had to use this Plan B tool that we've been practicing at home for a few weeks, really in preparation of this trip, right? Yeah. Talking about if things don't work out, we can have a Plan B. And folding this into life as language so that on our trip, when things inevitably happened, it's normal to go to a Plan B. Mm. So I found myself kind of leaning on that language that we've been practicing with our kid, telling myself like, okay, Plan A is not working. Mm. We're going to make a Plan B. You know, it's just so funny how much you think you're growing a certain quality in your child, or you think you're supporting your child. For example, our child needs help with flexibility, right? And change. And like how much I actually need help with that and how I think I'm helping him, but really I end up having to help myself. That definitely challenged me, but I feel like it grew me as a parent.
Yeah, no, I think you did a really good job of that. It's amazing also how much math has to be done when there's a change like that, even for us.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked for at least an hour, if not longer.
Figure out every aspect of it.
Figure out the flight.
Food.
Here's like the activities we need to do.
Like routing.
In order to get them ready to be on a plane.
Yeah.
There's so much that goes into that.
And then layer on top of it, like you have a child that does require certain types of movement through the day or whatever, and like you're trying to figure that out in Florida where it's really hot. And you know, it all worked out. Honestly, it worked out way better than we thought. There were no meltdowns that day. You know, it just goes to show, like, you just don't know how things are going to turn out. But I do appreciate that experience because it definitely challenged me. So anyway, it's a short little episode here. If there's one lesson or reflection that you're taking away from this trip, what would it be for you?
I'd say vacations are a lot of work right now.
Yeah.
But I still think they're fun for everyone and still worth it.
Yeah.
I was talking to another dad on the trip and we were reflecting on this because, you know, often as parents with young kids, perception can be you're just with your kids the entire time.
Yeah.
And you kind of are, most of it, at least if you're not, you still are mentally tracking what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, when they're happy, you're happy as well. And it's also possible to get some time as an adult. It just doesn't look the same as it used to, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think overall, you know, it was a good start, let's say, to our adventures as a family as we grow.
Yeah. Totally. No, I agree with you. And to your point, I'm taking away the importance of preparation, not only like the logistical things that matters, but preparing emotionally on all levels. So whether it is for our children, if you have a more highly sensitive child, we've been preparing for a couple of months, talking about the airport, getting the books from the library, the plan B stuff, like so many different things, flexibility in food, trying to work on really so many things. So this trip would be successful, but also emotional preparation for myself, managing expectations. And what did I wish or what did I initially envision my family to look like? And what is it in reality? And kind of accepting that radically and letting go and grieving, you know, my what I thought it could be, right? And also preparation for us as adults, as parents, as a married couple. I think the fact that we were able to talk about our wishes, you wanted to attend this class and this kirtan, and I wanted to attend this class and this kirtan at minimum. And then like really strategically figuring out how we could do that for each other.
It was a puzzle.
It was a puzzle. It was a battle plan. But but the fact that we talked about it, we made it happen at a minimal level. And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
I think like people look at our level of detail and planning and you know, it's okay. We are who we are. It's our nature. It's our personality. We've always been like this, even pre-parenthood. And sometimes I've always felt, am I just too much? Am I just too crazy? Why can't I just chill? But what I'm taking away from this trip is that like, no, actually the intentionality, the preparation, the level of detail and communication, it helped us.
Yeah.
It helped our whole family feel happy and supported on this trip. It's okay to be highly intentional when you're planning trips. It's important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautifully said. Thank you.
Yeah. This was nice.
Yeah.
To chat about our time together.
Yeah.
I hope we take another trip soon.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it helped us all as a family to kind of step out of our grind and just get out someplace different.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening, if you have any travel reflections, tips, tricks, hacks, we're always open. But thanks for listening, and we will see you on our next episode, which will be a Father's Day episode. Stay tuned for that one. Take care, have a good night, and Hare Krishna, everybody.
Hare Krishna.